Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Happy Father's Day, huh? Happy Father's Day. Don't you love the Father? Don't you love that Jesus said, you know, call him our Father? I'm just going to change mics because this one gets a little bit weird on me sometimes. And I'm going to try Jordan's mic over here.
My dad used to always say to me,
"Do you think I'm made of money?
Turn off the lights.
Do you think money grows on trees? Turn the heat down.
If you're cold, put on a sweater.
You call that music?
Turn that down.
Turn it off.
We're not lost.
No, we're not there yet.
Make me stop this car.
I will turn this car around right now.
What part of no don't you understand?
I'm not just talking to hear my own voice.
I'll tell you why.
Because I said so, that's why.
You call that a haircut?
What keeps those jeans from falling off?
Tuck in your shirt.
Wipe your feet.
Get your elbows off the table.
The early bird gets the worm.
You want something to do?
I'll give you something to do.
When I grew up, I had a job on a farm at 13.
Oh, as long as you live under my roof.
Stop crying, or I'll give you something to cry about.
I brought you into this world. I can take you out of it.
How's the job search going?
Don't touch my car.
My first car only had 3 wheels.
What is this, a pigsty?
Go make your bet.
I walked 10 miles to school.
Through 10 feet of snow.
Uphills both ways.
In my day, when I was your age, I had 3 jobs.
This is gonna hurt me a lot more than it's gonna hurt you.
Do you need anything?
Are you sure you don't need anything?
You can be whatever it is you want to be. As long as you tried your hardest, that's what really matters.
You'll get it next time.
You did your best.
That's my boy.
That's my girl.
I'm proud of you.
Real proud of you, son.
I'm so proud of you.
You'll always be my little girl.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you so much.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you, Dad.
Daddy, I love you.
I love you, Dad.
Wow, that was kind of moving, wasn't it? I got kind of moved there. Did you? I don't know. I got to pull this back. I don't know why I'm actually experiencing emotions these days. I don't know. Since I turned 50, like, something happened. Has anybody noticed that? Or just a few people? Steve, thank you for that. Do you resemble that, Steve, or it happens? All right. Okay, thank you. Hey, you know, the funniest things my kids, I was thinking, what are the funniest things my kids ever said to me? It didn't say to me, but I, in conversation, and this was while we were having conversations with other folks, you know, but this one might be a bit hot, you know. So we're chatting, walking down the road. We just moved to town. I'm walking down the road with Carly down the street and, you know, meeting the neighbors and how you doing and what's up. And, hey, where are you from? Oh, you guys moved in the street. Yeah, that's good. You know, hey, what's going on? You know what I did learn, though, when I moved to London? The nicest people in London were from Windsor. So anyway, that was just an observation a long time ago. Anyway, so we're walking down the road, and one of these guys go, "Hey, little girl, how are you?" And Carly's like, "Oh, I'm awesome," you know. And he said, "What does your daddy do?" Carly said, "My daddy doesn't do nothing. He's a preacher." That's exactly what he did. I do lots of stuff. I have a job, honey. I'm working for Jesus. Anyways, that was it. Now, my son, it was funny. I was talking with somebody once and sharing with him just amazing things God does and how awesome he is and all that. And when we were done, we're walking away, and Dylan turned to me and said, "Daddy?" I went, "Yeah." He says, "Daddy?" I went, "Yeah. What's up?" He said, "Daddy, when you were talking to that man, were you preaching or were you telling the truth?" I was like, "I'm always telling the truth, son. What do you mean?" You know. So anyway, that was the most exciting things my kids have said to me. That was good. All right, men's dictionary. What does it mean, men's dictionary? When a man says it's a guy thing, he means there's no rational thought pattern connected to this, and you have no chance at all of ever making it logical. Is that right? That was good. Hey, throw me a bone. Come on. When a man says, "Can I help with dinner?" what he really means is, "Why isn't it on the table already?" All right. All right. So when a man says, sure, honey, or yes, dear, it means absolutely nothing. It's his conditioned response. All right. When a man says it would take too long to explain, it means I have no idea how it works. But all right. So when a man says, take a break, honey, you're working too hard. And this happened to me yesterday. Take a break, honey, you're working too hard. That means that I can't hear the game for the vacuum cleaner. And she hit me with the vacuum cleaner. I was like, ow! Right on my... Anyways, that's good, all right? When a man says, that's interesting, dear, he means, are you still talking? No, that was really bad. That was... okay. I don't know if it's true in your home, but it is in mine. Anyway... When a man says, oh, honey, oh, don't fuss. I just cut myself. It's no big deal. It means I've actually severed a limb. I'm going to bleed to death. Please help me. Okay. When a man says, I heard you, he means I haven't the foggiest clue what you just said. And I'm hoping desperately that somewhere in the next 3 days I haven't forgot your birthday. Anyways, but okay. When a man says, you look terrific, he means, oh, please don't try on another outfit. I'm starving. One more. Can I get an amen for one more? All right, one more. When a man says, I'm lost, I know exactly where we are, it means no one will ever see us alive again. I left that for the end. I thought that would get a real good response. All right, okay. Hey, repeat that one? Okay, I'll give you one. Another. Madeline, just for you. I know this time joke for Madeline. All right. When a man says, I'm lost, I know exactly where we are, he means no one will ever see us alive again. Oh, come on, for the people watching on live stream. I mean, they just fell off their chair. They're rolling on the floor. I don't even know what it means, LMAO. I'm not even sure what that means, but. Anyways, all right, bragging about dads. How many have bragged about your dad? How many? My kids always bragged about their dad. And my kids were on the playground one day. I overheard them, and these kids were saying, hey, my dad, he scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. He calls it a poem, and he'll get $100 for that. Another dad said, said, that's nothing. My dad, he scribbles a few words on a piece of paper, and he calls it a song, and he gets $1,000. My kid said, my dad scribbles a few words on a piece of paper. It takes 8 men to walk around and collect all the money. Okay, we're going to get on to the sermon. All right, we're going to jump into some Father's Day stuff. I'm going to piggyback a little bit on what Pastor John shared last week. Wasn't that good last week with Pastor John? I mean, I really enjoyed that. But, you know, it really hooks up with last week was Pentecost. I want to kind of stay a little bit with the Holy Spirit theme and talk about the grace and the blessing of the Father. Acts chapter 2, verse 33, it says, being therefore lifted high by the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promised blessing of which is the Holy Spirit. Say blessing. And that word promise literally means to announce and pronounce a blessing. So literally saying, I have received from the Father, and now I can pronounce the blessing of the Father. I have received the ability now to announce and pronounce the blessing of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. The blessing of the Father is the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? God has blessed us, and his blessing is the Holy Spirit. He has made this outpouring by which yourselves both now see and hear. Isn't that good? An outpouring that you see and hear. So the Holy Spirit is the blessing of the Father. He poured out his Spirit on us so that we can be supernaturally advantaged. Isn't that great? You don't live by your own strength. You don't live out of your own ability, but you can live out of the power of God himself. He gave you his Spirit to give you his nature, his ability, his character. You have the blessing of the Father, and the blessing of the Father is the Holy Spirit. And I believe that you know, to be a believer and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's really to neglect the power of God in your life. I really do. And I don't believe you're really fully initiated as a believer. You might be able to go to heaven, all that, God's blessing to some extent on your life. But I really believe that fully initiated believer means you're born again, you're baptized in water, and you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. You need to be pickled in the Holy Spirit. You need power from on high to live the life that God intends you to live. That's why he said, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait I mean, I taught you everything. I filled your minds with scripture. I revealed everything to you. But don't wait, because you need power, because the power, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's the blessing of God that will prosper in every area of your life. The blessing of God, that inheritance will chase you through life, and those words will come into manifestation in every area of your life. How many think that's good news? It's the blessing of the Father. Our Father has lavishly blessed us with the power of the Spirit. Luke 3:22 says, "And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven came and said, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" Now listen, this was before Jesus did a lick of ministry. This was before Jesus preached a sermon, before he healed anybody, before he fasted, before he did anything. Entering into ministry, realizing his calling and his destiny, it needed the blessing of God. And this was the announcement of the blessing of the Father. And with the blessing of the Father came the Holy Spirit that came and hovered down and descended upon him like a dove. Jesus was baptized in the Holy Ghost. That was the blessing of the Father. We need to experience the blessing of the Father. Nobody can be significant without blessing. Everybody needs blessing. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, he said, "I will bless you." This is the Father. He said, "I will bless you, and I will make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing." Say, you will be a blessing. It's not enough just to be blessed, but you are blessed so that you are. You carry a blessing. Wherever you go, you loose the kingdom and God's goodness. That was the promise to Abraham. But in Galatians, it says, those who are people of faith are blessed. Those who are people of faith are blessed. If you're a believer, you are blessed. It says, happy, and they are favored by God with Abraham. And it says, with believing Abraham. So you're a believer. Believing brings blessing. Believing looses the kingdom and the goodness of God in and through your life. Those who are people of faith are blessed, happy, and favored by God. Famous, distinguished. I mean, these are good things. That's what the blessing of the Father does to your life. So no one can effectively function in this life without blessing. Many people who are deficient, many people who walk through life under a cloud, who walk through life difficult, you have an askew focus on life. My daughter talks to me sometimes in the career she's in and some of the difficulties she faces, and there's people in that she ministers to, and there's so many people who are going through life without blessing. They didn't leave home well. They didn't leave with blessing, and they've never experienced blessing in their life, and they just go from failure to failure, from brokenness to brokenness, because they've never experienced the love of a father or a mother or the blessing of God in their lives. And blessing is a very, very significant thing. The word blessed is the word barak, and it means to endue with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, and longevity, to empower to prosper. How many think that'd be good? Hallelujah. To endue with power for success, prosperity, fruitfulness, longevity, to empower to prosper. How many would like some of that? The power of God is going to come upon you. What will it do? Why do I need it? It will endue power for success. It will cause you to be prosperous. It'll cause you to be fruitful. It'll bring longevity. It will cause you to be empowered to prosper. And that's the blessing of God. Now, the blessing must be appropriated. The blessing must be appropriated. You have to appropriate the blessing. It can be neglected. It comes by revelation, and it flows through faith. It can be neglected. It comes by revelation, and it flows through faith. Really quickly, it can be neglected. You remember in the prodigal son, where the son who left, and he blew it all up, but then he came back, and the father restored him? But the whole story is about the son who stayed home. The son who stayed home at the end was like, "I can't believe you've done this for this wayward son, and yet I've been here all the time. I've been with you all this time, and you've never thrown a party for me." And the father said, "Everything I have is yours." Literally saying, you could have partied anytime you wanted. You could have taken anything you wanted. You are blessed. You're in my presence. Everything I have is yours. But there was a son who lived with the father, worked for the father, but he lived in a place of neglect, even in the father's house. And there's believers who live in this place of neglect, of emotional and functional neglect. And even though they're in the Father's house, even trying to work for the Father, even doing things for the Father, striving for the Father, but they're miserable and they're living a life of neglect in the presence of God. So there are people you can neglect the anointing. You can't neglect the blessing. Last week, Pastor John talked to us about Jacob and Esau. And with Jacob and Esau, you see, Jacob may have got the blessing, and it may seem through deceit, but really, if you go back a few chapters, you find out that Esau's coming in, and Jacob kind of hung out with mom a lot more. You know, he learned to cook and clean and do all kinds of things, you know, but Esau, he's out hunting. Now, Jacob, he's cooking up a really nice stew, and he sees Esau coming. He goes, man, he's going to be hungry. And sure enough, Esau comes in. He goes, I love that stuff right there. That's good stuff. He said, cook me up some of that. Give me a bowl full of that. And Jacob said, if I give you a bowl of stew, I want your birthright. And literally, Esau right there said, I do not, excuse me, but he literally said, I don't give a rip about my birthright. I don't care about the blessing. Just give me what I see right now. Let me get my hands on what's in front of me. Who cares about the birthright? And Jacob said, you got to swear to me. So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob, and Jacob gave Esau bread and stew and lentils, and he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. Folks, there's a lot of believers even living today in the Father's house, and they despise the blessing. They keep on believing that I don't need that. I'm going to just do this on my own, or I don't need the blessing. I'm not going to humble myself and say the blessing is a big deal in my life. You keep on striving to do everything on your own, and people are miserable. But, you know, you don't want to neglect your birthright. You have the blessing of God, and what's going to advantage you supernaturally is the blessing of God and the blessing of God alone. Amen. So let's not be like Esau. It comes by revelation. So the Apostle Paul said, I want you to understand your inheritance. He said, you know, after telling you all these things and after sharing all this with you, I want you to get it. Because getting the revelation of your inheritance is what's really going to make life work. Pleading with God, you know, begging him to do something that he's already done is some of the dumbest things I see in Christianity today. And most people live that way, and they operate without any power, without any demonstration of his presence and favor in their lives, because they're trying to get from God what he already gave. And see, the Apostle Paul didn't say, I want you to get power. He didn't say, I want you to get favor. He didn't say, I want you to get the hand of God. He didn't say, I want you to perform at all. All he said was, I pray that you may be enlightened. He said, I pray that you might get a spirit of revelation. I pray that you might have your mind opened by God himself so that you can become enlightened to know and to recognize the hope of this calling, that you would know what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints that's yours right now. And you need to know that that inheritance is more important than anything else in your world, because if you get that, you've got everything. You don't need to get power. You've got power. You know, there's nothing else you need to do. Jesus finished everything, and you by faith right now can appropriate it. Number three is it flows through faith. It says, so then those who are of the faith of Abraham, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. When are you blessed? When you try hard, when you read your Bible 500 hours a week, when you pray a little harder, push a little harder. That's not how you get blessing. The blessing is the choice of God. He made a decision that he wants to bless you through Jesus Christ. So you know what? Through believing Abraham, Abraham's blessing was what? That you would be made famous. The whole world would be blessed through you. That's the blessing of every single believer, not just Abraham, but because of what Jesus did, every one of us can walk in that same kind of blessing and loose everywhere we go the blessing of God upon our world. Amen. I got one amen. I got one hand raised. I got two. I got three. I see another. I see a hand scratching. I see something. I see another hand. There's a hand. There's a hand. There's a hand. Oh! All right, give me another slide. Let's jump along here. Genesis chapter 27. This was the blessing that was given by Isaac on Jacob. And I love the way Pastor John shared about that, because, you know, here's Jacob. He got dressed up like his brother, had to put on an animal skin. I mean, who would think two such different kids from one womb? My goodness, one soft-skinned kid and another is like a bear. I mean, my goodness. But he dressed up like his brother, and his father said, it's the voice. It's the voice of Jacob, but it's the smell and it's the feel of Esau. And he loosed the blessing, and he said, come near me now and kiss me, my son. He blessed him, and he said, may God give you plenty of grain and plenty of wine. So he announced that blessing on him. You go down a little further in Genesis 27:34. When Esau heard the words of his father, say the words. When he heard the words of his father, he cried with exceedingly great and bitter cry. How many know that crying is bad? How many know exceedingly crying is bad? How many know exceedingly great crying is bad? How many know exceedingly great bitter crying? That's pretty severe. What was he crying about? That Jacob got the boat? What was he crying about? That, you know, Jacob got the RSPs? What was he crying about? Jacob got the cottage up in the Muskokas? What was he crying about? That Jacob's going to get the house mom and dad are living in? What was he crying about? That all those cattle and all those camels? Is Jacob getting all that? What was he crying about? He wasn't crying about the stuff. He was crying that the blessing of the firstborn was announced and his brother got it. It could never be taken back and he would never walk in that blessing himself. He was devastated that word which had power to prosper him all through life, it was gone. He had lost it and his father could not announce a blessing on him. Oh, why didn't, you know, Isaac just stir one up and say, okay, come here, I'll throw one on you. You can't do it. You see, the types and the images and the symbols here are very, very important because Jesus is the one who receives the inheritance. But the beautiful thing is with Abraham and with all the blessing, because Jesus was blessed, if we have faith in Jesus, we get the blessing. That's what so beautifully John shared with us, that the way you get the approval, the way you get the blessing is by putting yourself in the place and in the position of what would please the Father. And you see, what pleases the Father for us is not clothing ourselves in animal skins and smelling funky. What pleases the Father for us is being in Christ Jesus. It's believing in Him. You see, when you get in Christ Jesus, you appear before the Father, and He doesn't just see Jesus, He sees your obedience to believe. It's not that now He sees Jesus. Oops, He doesn't see me, He sees Jesus. That's not what happens. It's because you believe in what Jesus did, He sees you completely now. He's able to see you and He's able to bless you because you chose to believe that Jesus has qualified me to stand with courage, without shame, in the face of my Father and embrace the blessing that is rightfully mine because I believe right. And that is such good stuff right there. The blessing is so important, and too many people are wandering through life without blessing. But here's the good news for anyone who never had a proper earthly blessing, who never had a proper earthly home, who never experienced the love of a father or a mother. Here's the good news of the gospel. There is a Father who loves you, and He wants to bless you just like He did His own Son. He wants to bring you into the family, and He wants to give you sonship, and He wants to make you a joint heir with His own Son, Christ Jesus. Man, that's good news. I like that stuff. Wow. 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 All right. Genesis chapter 27. Let's go over now to Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Say Mark chapter 10. Now, Jesus understood the blessing, and He understood the power of blessing. And here's a passage where Jesus blessed children. Look what it says, Mark 10. He said, then they brought little children to Him that He might touch them. Now, you may just see this. Isn't that nice? Nice little story. Try to put yourself in the story, and here's Jesus, and here's some parents walking up and saying, oh, here's Johnny. Can you just touch my son, Johnny? Just bless him. Why would a parent, you know, want to bring Jesus, like after the sermon is done, suddenly all of these people are rushing forward with their kids and saying, would you please touch my son? Would you please bless my son? And you have to understand, you have to see it. It was so busy. There were so many clamoring, pushing their kids forward. I love my child. And there were so many people who believed in who He was and believed in what the good news He announced that they were like, impart this to my child. Would you impart this to my child? They believed in impartation. They believed in the laying on of hands. They believed that the word could invoke blessing to empower their whole life. They were saying, my child's life will never be the same if you will touch him and speak a word over him. And they were pushing forward so much so that the disciples were like, would you get these kids out of here? Now, that may not make a lot of sense to you, but you need to see it. If you go to India with me, you will see it. It's ridiculous. After a meeting, you can't get out of the place. People are coming with all of their children asking you, man of God, touch my child. And they believe that you, as the man of God representing God, if you are who you say you are and what you preach was true, touch my child and he will never be the same. Literally, hundreds of them come, don't they? I mean, you have to push them aside. Sometimes I feel terrible because I'm like, we got to get out of here. And when you got a crowd of 25,000 pushing and bringing their kids and everybody wants a touch. But you know, if they still live in that culture, they still live in a biblical mindset, they believe in transferal blessing. They believe in anointing. Oh, that we did in North America. Oh, that we did. Oh, that when it was exam time, you'd want your kids to come and go to the altar call. When it's time to do the test for their next class or their next course. I mean, I go to any nation in the world, and almost all the time, if they're during exams, the kids come up and go, what am I praying for? I have an exam tomorrow. Please pray the blessing of God upon me. And that is more important to them than studying. Now, we'll say, you need to study, you need to do that, and they'll do all they can. But they believe that if you're who you say you are, you're a man of God, you have the power to declare a blessing over me that will prosper me in what I'm doing. All right, settle down. So here it is. Look, it says, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. Now, if you like looking up words and checking things out, check out that phrase, greatly displeased. It's the worst form of anger that's found in the Greek language. He was livid. He was moved. He was so angry. Don't you do that. Get out of the way. Now, I would never be angry as a pastor. Hallelujah. But I mean, Jesus, right there, he manifests. He was manifesting. You get your hands off those kids. You let them come. Jesus saw it. He was greatly displeased. He said to them, let the children come to me and do not forbid them. For if such is the kingdom of God, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom as a little child will by no means enter it. Now, it doesn't say you have to be childish to receive the kingdom, but it's childlike. I mean, here's children. Bless me, Jesus. And you got adults going, yeah, I don't need that. I'm good. It was a nice sermon and all, but I'm not going to go to the altar or nothing. I mean, you know, a nice sermon, preacher. Good for you. But the kids were like, I want the blessing. And the mothers are, touch my child. Whoever does not receive the kingdom as a little child will by no means enter it. Let me read that again. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means. There's no other way. There's not another door or another process. You can't get into the kingdom if you don't receive it like a child. The kingdom. The reign and domain of the King, his manifestations in your life, his power expressed in your life, his ability in your life, it comes by being like a child, not childish, not you. You got to come like a child, like my kids when they were small, they'd come to the dinner table. You know what they expected? Food. For what? What reason? What? Because it was time for food. And when it's time for food, I get food. Because I believe that my father has unlimited resources and he'll always take care of me. If I can get daddy near a mall, I'll get whatever I want. It still happens today. But they know I can't resist. But when you're like a child, you don't come with doubt. And I wonder if he's in a good mood. I wonder if he's disposed to be. I wonder if God could do anything about this. But when you come like a child, you expect the kingdom to come. It is my good pleasure, little children, to give to you the kingdom. You know what makes him happy? Giving you kingdom. What is kingdom? All of his ability, all that he is, his presence, his power, his person to manifest himself supernaturally in every aspect of your life. Good deal. Good deal. By no other means, by no other means, there's not another way. Like a child. That's incredible stuff. You know, I love that because the proud, big-nosed people high in the sky, ain't I awesome? You'll never get any. But if you'll come like a child humbly and say, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, I need you. That's it. Anyway, some really good stuff here. I'm going to tell you quickly, there's five essentials to blessing. We see them in the blessing of Isaac on Jacob, and we see them in blessing of Jesus here. And these should be the way you father. These essentials should be the way that you father your children. So lots of applications here today for everyone. You ready? Five essentials, all right? He brought them in his arms, and the Amplified says, he brought them in his arms, and he fervently invoked a blessing. It wasn't just a blessing. He fervently, could you see that meeting, how long it took for him to individually, each child fervently invoke a blessing on that child. I'm sure the disciples were like, my goodness, I mean, you know, Big Daddy drive-thru is closing in a minute here, and we got about 700 more kids to bless, my God. But Jesus fervently invoked a blessing on each of these children, took them in his lap, And he fervently invoked a blessing on each of these children. Five essentials of blessing. You ready? Five essentials. Number one, the blessing must have meaningful touch. Say meaningful. We do believe in impartation. We believe, we have altar calls because we believe it's important to have hands laid on you. We have altar calls because we believe it's important for you to personally experience the touch of God. We believe in a meaningful touch. He said, come near. Isaac said, come near and kiss me. Come near and kiss me. Come near, come near. I like it that we can come near to God. I like that song, you know, I can come and I can be courageous. And I like what Alana said. You know what? I can be courageous and come in your presence because it's on your authority and you told me to come and you qualified me to come. So I'm coming without fear. God wants you to come near. Yell at your neighbor, say, come near. Come on. All right. You see, and it says in Mark, it says he took them in his arms. Isn't that good? When's the last time you had Jesus just give you a big hug? Huh? Come on, jump in the Father's arms, experience an embrace. Touch is the foundation for blessing. Touch is the foundation for blessing. You've got to have that contact point. You've got to have that place where you experience the blessing of God. Meaningful touch. Fathers, you got to touch your children in healthy ways, in wonderful ways. You got to make sure that your kids, that your hands coming towards them are not a sign of attack. We got a little Rottweiler now, and there's times he's holding on to my shirt. I'm trying to put it on, and he won't let go. And I'm like, let go of my shirt. And, you know, I want to just smack him on the snout and say, let go of my shirt. But I know that if I do that, the next time he sees my hand coming towards him, he's going to wonder if he's going to get hit again. How many times have you watched, sometimes you're maybe at a baseball game or something else, you see a father reach towards his kid and his kid pulls away. You wonder why that is. You know, your hand should be blessing. There should be touch. There should be affirmation. There should be such a welcome in you, close to you, near you, where there's access to you and there's meaningful touch that is experienced by your children because you get it from your Father, and that's a part of the blessing that you get meaningful touch. Number two, spoken message. What are you saying? It says that he blessed him and he said, where it says that he fervently invoked a blessing. That word blessing has two words in it. One is to bless. The other is logio, to speak. It is a voice, an active voice speaking blessing. So Jesus spoke blessing over them. He fervently invoked blessing. He spoke over them incredible words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So whatever you're saying to your children, God always says good things about you. I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, and they are good. They are not evil, and they are to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. God's word, if you ever hear something you think's from God and it's bad, it's not him. Cast it out, because God always wants to favor you and God always wants to bless you. Amen. You got to know that. And this is what Jesus spoke. This is what he spoke. You've got to declare words over your children that are good. I've had people come to the altar. Would you pray for my son? He's such an idiot. I can't believe what he's doing. He's going to amount to nothing. It's just awful. He's doing this, doing that. And I'm like, you know what? I declare your son's awesome. I declare your son is serving the purposes of God. No, he's not. Honestly, Pastor, he's doing this, he's doing that. You have not. I declare your son is blessed. Hallelujah. I declare he's going to rise up and call you blessed. I believe you raised him the way he should. When he's old, he won't depart from it. There's a blessing on his life, and that blessing is pursuing him no matter where he goes. He's going to serve the purpose of God. No work of the devil can prosper. He's going to prosper. He's going to go forward. My son is blessed. And that's the way you speak over your kids. I don't matter what it looks like right now. I don't care, because I don't move by sight. I move by faith. Hallelujah. Thank God my mom still spoke blessing over me. I mean, I was in and out of jail, crazy, messed up life, but my mom kept praying for me. My mom kept blessing me. My mom would have people go, well, remember that prophetic word about Carl? Well, yes, that's gone, eh? My mom said, I believe, I see that, I declare that. My mom still believes. She kept copies, all these prophetic words, all these things. She'd pray, it's coming. I tell you, I see it, glory to Jesus. Come on, we walk by faith. The blessing flows through faith. And you got to loose that over your kids, over your parents. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Speak life. Speak powerfully. Your mouth is a weapon. It's powerful, and it can tear down strongholds of the enemy in Jesus' name. Number three, high value. You got to put a high value. Now, this may not seem like a high value, but my son is like the smell of a field. In that culture, that was a blessing. In our culture, it'd be, would you take a shower, please? My God. You know, unless, you know, what are they? I guess there's some stuff now. You buy body wash now, and it says smell of a field body wash. So maybe they had something there. Okay. All right. Jesus said, let the children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom. Jesus said, these kids, this is kingdom stuff right here. They're looking, oh, well, these are just kids. No, this is kingdom. Oh, these are just kids, Jesus. We even don't need their rugrats running around. They broke my windows last week. No. This is kingdom stuff right here. You know, you got to not only embrace them and not only speak to them, but you got to place a high value. Say high value. You got to place a high value on children. Place a high value on young people. Place a high value on sinners. No, I think it drives me nuts that the church thinks that sinners out there, that's the problem. All this sin and stuff just wrecking everything. No, I have a high value. Every single one of these people created to be carriers of the anointing. Put a high value on your neighbor. Put a high value on your workplace. Put a high value on the people you work with. Put a high value on the people you work with. Put a high value on every single person, the waiter, the waitress, the person through the drive-thru, anybody, your teacher, your boss. Put a high value on these people because there is. Put a high value. You especially need to put high value on your kids. He said, this is of the kingdom. I love that. When I know that about God, when I know that, see, my father put a high value on me. I don't know if you know that or not, but he did. I've told people often, I grew up with a wonderful complex. And if you think you're wonderful, I do. Am I not? My parents raised me. You're wonderful. My parents lavished love on me. They would go to incredible, crazy lengths to embrace me. When I came home and I brought my kids home, they dropped everything and they lavished love on me. They wanted to spend time with us. I not only was spoken words over, but they, in everything they did, put a high value on me. My dad and mom, they'd want to go to the boat for the weekend. They'd get there and Cheryl and I already took it. They'd have to go get a hotel room for the night. And then I'd pull in and go, oh my goodness, mom and dad are here. And he's like, did you have a good time? Throw me the rope. We'd pull it in. He goes, where did you go? What did you do? Oh, that's so exciting. That's great. Did you fill it up? Yeah. Did you put it on my credit card? Yeah. My dad loved it when I took advantage of him. He expected me to. He wanted me to put a high demand on who he was and the words that he spoke over me. He said, you are blessed, son. You are blessed to prosper. You can do anything you want. I'm in an organization. I'm pastoring a church. I'm just a young buck. And my father believed in me. Many people believed in me. But then suddenly I'm on the national board with my father. And there's times in that meeting where I'm sharing and saying, these are my convictions. And I saw my father. He says, I'm no longer looking at my son. I'm looking at a peer. I'm looking at someone who is my comrade. I'm looking at someone who is a co-worker with me. And my father would cheer me on. And then they asked me to be the leader of the national organization. And my dad was thrilled to say, I'm thrilled to serve the anointing on your life. Wow. You have no idea how amazing that is to have your father who you saw serve so many years of his life say, I love your leadership. It's so important how we treat our kids and how we speak over them. There's got to be real genuine touch. The father loves you. You need to know he embraces. You need to know that his words for you are always good. And you need to know that God put a high value on you. How do you know he put a high value on me? Because you're to die for. He sent his own son to take all of it, to take every single thing, to remove every obstacle from him freely loving you. How awesome are you? Come on. Settle down. I know it's exciting. Number four, moving rapidly, special future. I love this. And when you bless, speak a special future. Hey, you know, you're not going to amount to much, you know. Probably be a trash man all your life. It's not good, eh? How many think that'd be a good blessing? Well, mind you, I mean, garbage men today make pretty good money. Oh, praise Jesus. Verse 29, listen to this. Wow, this is what the Father said to Abraham, and this blessing is ours through faith. Nations will bow down to you. Holy cow. Not like the village. I mean, nations. Folks, how much authority do we have over the affairs of earth? I wish we could do something right now because Iraq's looking messy. Thank God it's far away. Thank God there's a couple of oceans and bodies of water between us and that. How much authority do we have? What's going on? Are bad things happening in the earth, or is the church asleep in the light? Are bad things going on in the earth, or is the church asleep in the light? Are bad things going on in the earth, or is the church asleep in the light? Folks, we have authority to literally affect the nations. He said in Psalms, he said, ask of me and I will give the nations as your. What are we talking about? Inheritance. We're talking about the blessing. What does God want to bless you with? Inheritance. And I read that. That's why I have a globe on the wall, a globe in my office, because you know what? How much do you want? Verse 14, it said, to them belongs the kingdom. There's a special future. To them, he's speaking to children. To them belongs, declaring a special future. Here's an incredible special future. Ready? John 14, 12. Jesus is talking about, I'm going to go. It's better that I go. I'm going to send the comforter to you. And listen, I'm going to send the comforter to you. And guess what? You are going to do greater things than I did. I mean, I've been doing some stuff, but I'm going to send the comforter to you, and I'm literally going to be amazed at your ministry. I'm going to be wowed by you guys, because I'm going to esteem you as better than myself. My ministry was awesome, but I'm going to go away and send the Holy Spirit to you, and you are going to do greater things than even I did. And I'm going to be up there going, man, look at these guys go. This is so exciting. You are declared. Words are spoken over you. You're going to receive a promise that's going to prosper you and propel you and move you forward, that you'll do even greater things than he did. Let's start. Let's do some of that. Let's do some of that right now. Number five, act of commitment. Number five, it says the God part. Here's the God part. There's got to be active commitment when you declare a blessing. There's active commitment on your part, right? There's active commitment. When you proclaim a blessing, you're committed to that, and you're actively a part of that. You commit a blessing. Here's God's part. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, or let you down, or relax my grip on you. Assuredly not. Now, Pastor, why did you put all those will nots in there? Because that's the original text. The original text does not say, the original Greek does not say, I will not leave you, forsake you. The original has it three times. I don't know why the translators put it in once. I guess the translator said one will not is enough. I think it's good to have three. And I think if God said it three times, he wanted it said three times. I love you, I love you, I love you. Like, if I did that, I'm trying to be emphatic. I want you to understand how much I love you. But God wanted to be emphatic here. He wanted to say, I will not, I will not, I will not. And then he goes on, he says, in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, or relax my grip on you. And then he adds to it, assuredly not. He who speaks a blessing over you is absolutely committed to bring it to pass. And he'll never leave you in the process. He'll always be there to bring it into manifestation on your life. Settle down. Easy. You know, you're blocking the cameras. Oh, it is so good. Here's your part. You ready? Here's your part. Do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience. Here's your part. Faith and constant endurance. Faith, and I'm never going to relax my grip on this. He spoke it. He means it. Faith where I'm not letting go no matter what. I don't care what I see. I believe his word. His word is propelling me through every experience of life. No matter what it looks like now, he gave a preferred word over me. This is not the end. God has a better promise for me. I'm never going to let go, because I will inherit the promise, because he is committed to bring it to pass in my life. You are blessed. Here we go. Got a couple more. My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could ever give another person. He believed in me. That's Jim Valvano. He was the coach of North Carolina State basketball team for years and years, but I thought that was a great quote. He said, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. The Father believes in you. There's no plan B. It's you. There's nothing else. You're it. He's going to do all this now through you, and he believes in you. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall fill all the earth as the waters cover the sea through you. And he has blessed you to prosper, blessed you to bring it to pass. And he is confident in you, and he believes that you're going to bring it to pass. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? I mean, are you blessed? that should propel you every waking moment, that the blessing of God is pursuing you through every aspect of life. One more verse, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Not who will bless us or someday might bless us. He has blessed us. What has he blessed us with? He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And how do you qualify? You got to get in the garments. You got to get in the outfit. You got to get in. It's in Christ. It's not in your effort. It's not in your ability. It's not in your ability to even believe. It's not in your ability to do anything. It's your ability to do one thing. Get on the boat. Get in Christ. Get in him. And he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Yes, hallelujah. That's in heavenly places though, Pastor. I'd like a few blessings down here. Don't you know that everything starts in the heavenly realm? Don't you know that everything is created in the unseen realm? Don't you know that it's the unseen realm where you need the words? It's the unseen realm where you need to be empowered, because you can proclaim in the unseen realm the words that God gives you and speaks over you. You proclaim those things, and it's proclaiming the unseen things of God. I declare those things that are not as though they were, and they come into manifestation. You've been empowered in the creative realm to call forth every good thing that God desires for you. You are so set up to prosper, it's like you've got to snatch defeat from the jaws of certain victory. You are blessed, and that blessing has power. It pursues you every day of your life. You are so incredibly set up supernaturally to prosper and manifest the kingdom. Declare that over each other. Declare that over your children. Declare that over the body of Christ. Declare that in your workplace. Declare that everywhere you are, because you have authority to speak and bring in the creative purposes of God, because you are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Amen. Come on, stand up with me. Stand up with me. Just bow your head, close your eyes for a minute. Just, again, listen, it's really so easy. It's so easy, it's offensive. And that's why I love it. It says that the only way, there's no other means, there's no other way. There's no other way to get in the kingdom. There's no way to embrace it except like a child. You know how easy it is to ask a child to accept Jesus as their Savior? I mean, kids love giving their heart to Jesus, because they just simply believe there's a God, and he's awesome, and he loves me, and he wants everything for me. Yes, yes, I'll have some. I want to give my life to Jesus. You know, if you'll humble yourself enough to step into the coat of someone else, if you'll step into Jesus, if you'll step into what he did for you on the cross, if you step into that, you are completely accepted by the Father. And he made it so easy. He did all the heavy lifting. You've just got to believe. And if you've never believed today and you want that blessing, I mean, what I'm talking about is absolutely true. I mean, it's not only good news, and it's not only somewhat too good to be true. It is true. It's so true. And his blessing wants to just manifest in and through you, because he wants to declare his goodness through you everywhere you go. He wants to magnify himself through you. But if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you can do it quite easily today. We can pray right now, and you can ask him, I just received that. I want to be in Christ. I believe you. And you can do that today, right now. It's very easy. And if you've never done it, but you want to do it, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand so that I can see it. Are you ready? I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. And if you've never done it and you want to do it, you put your hand up really high, and we're going to pray for you. Ready? One, two, three. Rich, put your hand up right now. Lift it up really high. And right across, all the way across. Come on. You can still do it now. Well, thank you. Thank you. Come on, everybody pray with me. Father, thank you for sending Jesus. I believe that he paid the price for me to be in a relationship with you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior, because you accept me. So thank you for removing sin, shame, and fear with boldness. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, amen. It's awesome. Okay, look up. You ready? You're forgiven. You are, and especially you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed, blessed, blessed. Let's pray for everybody. You ready? Father, we thank you for this house. We thank you that you are our wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. That's what my dad used to say. Say, our wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace. We just thank you, Father, that you're wonderful. I thank you for a father who raised me with a wonderful complex. I pray for fathers in this building, Lord, that they would, just in those meaningful ways, always impart and loose blessing upon their family. For all of us, Lord, some have lost dad. Some have, didn't really have a good relationship with dad. Some mourn today because a wonderful dad has gone to be with you. Comfort as only you can. Minister as only you can. Fill the void as only you can. Bring up other fathers. Bring up other men in the body of Christ that can help, they can lean on, they can be a blessing. Father, bless this house right now. Thank you for Impact Church. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you for the many coming to the knowledge of your wonderful love. Father, I command the richest blessing on this place right now. The love of the Father, the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ, and the wonderful fellowship and intimate partnership of Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you now and always. In Jesus' precious name, amen.